So we're live. And normally we would have a lovely Sammy voice coming on, but Sammy's dead. Sorry. Let's take a moment's silence for dead Sammy.
We miss you, Sammy.
Yes. This welcome to the Nerdy Up North podcast, and a podcast ran by Northern Nerds. Sammy always says it better. I am one of the co-hosts, and I've got three other co-hosts tonight. We've got Gaming Up North, Jake up north now.
Can be whatever it is. Up north.
He is up north.
I am Jake. So yeah, yep. Accurate.
We've got the Top Grumps have joined us. The beautiful, the effervescent, the weirdly green Chris.
I thought you could talk to Lee there.
No. We've got Daddy Discord, the guy that makes everything rock and gets all the ladies' juices flowing just by flicking his hair and talking so much about Dragon Ball Z. But yes, it is a bit of a chaotic episode. I'll apologise. This is what was going to be known now forever as the cursed episode, because we've had so many plans and so many things fall through for this episode. Originally, we had Joe. Like, the third grump was supposed to be joining us, because this idea came about from the charity stream where we'd had a few few hours where we discussed Star Wars, and those hours could have went on and on. So we thought, we seem to enjoy this. We seem to like talking about the wars. So we'll do a regular segment on the episode. And it was all planned out, and Joe dropped out and Sammy died. So yeah.
Great. But yeah, Sammy does have a really bad sore throat, so we hope she gets well soon. She's not dead.
And in Joe's defense, he's handcuffed to a radiator somewhere.
Yeah, Nicole went up and we don't want to know what's happened up there. Yes. But yeah.
But I blanked Paul by half the cast.
Half the cast,
so
yes.
Thankfully, the gruesome twosome helped out.
Yes. Bless.
Chris, are you okay? You don't look well at the moment. And yeah, the vape out of the nostrils really helped the image. Yeah.
Timing everything.
That wasn't vape, that's just the insides.
Yes. But yeah.
That's Dagobah. It's like, you know, like the mists of Dagobah got you.
I'm just gutted as well. Like I say, I had so many plans for this episode. I was like, I'm going to have a really class intro, loads of graphics flying around. And about half an hour before this episode was going, like, every fucking thing stopped working. Nothing has worked. Like, literally, the crawl wouldn't even crawl. The logo wasn't working. I was going to call it Nerd Wars. So, yes, I'm very vexed and angry. You've got an annoyed Paul tonight. So, yes. But, yes,
hi. Well, that's the perfect time to talk about Star Wars.
But, yes. Hi, chat. I can see we've got some friendly faces, some new faces as well. We've got Chris's new friend, Phoebe. We've got Becca. We've got Sarah. We've got Beth. We've got the ghost of Sammy in the chat as well. So, yes. And Axar Toons there as well. So, yes. So, thank you for joining us. And we are here. It's kind of like a celebration, shall we say, because we did a celebration episode the other week for Christopher Reeve. Now, this, we're going to celebrate our love of Star Wars and why we kind of fell in love with Star Wars, and what about Star Wars keeps us coming back for, like, say, on a date. Like, because I don't think, as nerds, we go through a day in our life where we don't come across or even think about Star Wars in the smallest way, I would dare say it.
But yes, but I do need, Sammy's ghost has told me to say the disclaimer first before we talk about Star Wars.
Yep.
Otherwise, we'll get in trouble because it's one of the most toxic fandoms in the entire world. But everything discussed in today's episode is our opinion and our opinions alone. If you'd like to discuss anything in today's episode, please come and join us in the Discord, the Facebook group, or the comments section where we can have an open discussion. What we won't have is any scruffy-looking nerf herders coming for us and telling us our opinions are wrong, because we can all agree to disagree in fandom, so let's keep it fun, keep it kind, and keep the toxic behavior out of nerdism.
Well said, well said.
and that is the start of my galactic empire.
I was waiting for Chris to add his little line in that he wanted to say.
We'll get sued.
Are you that correct. Scared of Dan that you're not going to see it?
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. Don't be a dick.
Right. That's fine.
But Dan will come for you.
That's all right. That's fine. She'll shut us off.
Sorry for interrupting you, Paul, but I didn't want to let it get too far without because Sammy would be raging on the keyboard. you are absolutely right. I feel like Star Wars is so entrenched in like fandom culture that a lot of stuff does come back to Star Wars, even if it's like not really related. You can probably think of like movie premieres, like lining up for movies, like that became a Star Wars thing in like the 2000s when the prequels, and the whole like, you know, Trek versus Wars nerd, like nerd wars. That was like the original one, wasn't it? Apart from, you know, like probably like Lord of the Rings versus something back when we were born.
Nobody likes like the walk. Nobody walks the walk movies though. Yeah, but it's again a lot of people's probably nerd. Like crush or like say not nerd crush word wrong word like nerd, love of like nerd culture or pop culture probably comes from Star Wars, because as Jake rightly said, their probably first foray into sci-fi was either Star Wars or the Trek side of it as well, because Trek was a bit more accessible because it was on TV. There was the TV shows they've had many seasons and movies. What Star Wars was a little bit different. You either owned a VHS or you wait for it to be released on cinema. And it's quite interesting that we've got like a wide variety of age groups as well. Because like me, being an older statesman, I'm not saying that I saw the original one when it first came out, but I was certainly around for Empire and Jedi. So seeing like say firsthand like the kind of culture change, not just for movies, but if you talk about like say merchandise, toys, how like say marketing changed as well because of these movies, like it literally changed the landscape on pretty much anything to do with pop culture from that point. It was like revolutionary by George Lucas. Like I know he gets a lot of shit, which some of it is quite deserved, but he was such a clever man. He saw the potential of what this was going to be and where it can come from without kind of like and a lot of people did laugh at him for those aspects as well. It's like, okay, we'll do the rights to the movies, but okay, I want the rights to like the marketing and the toys, and they were like, hi, so no one's going to buy that shit. And the amount of money he probably has made off that is just crazy. But yeah, George Lucas is a very clever man with that aspect. So,
And if you hear like stories from him, and like, because he's kind of like part of the friend group that includes like Spielberg and stuff, because they were like all sort of filmmakers who were getting their start around like that time. And this, like, he is actually quite a smart guy. Like, you know, everyone complains about like the politics and stuff in like episode one, where it's like, the trade blockade and stuff like that. Like he is genuinely interested in like real world like stuff like that, and he tries to put stuff in his movies that kind of like do link back to like history. Like he's making films about wars, and he's like taking real world examples, and like Spielberg loved to do that kind of thing as well. I think they did some like documentary work as well, like for the army.
Is it Star Wars that Spielberg traded like some of the rights for with Close Encounters or something, where they were both like, oh, this film's not going to work, and it's like, no, my film's not going to work, and they're just like, well, let's just swap some rights and see who wins or something like that.
Like try to help each other out, like, well, if mine flops, you can have some.
Yeah. No, I like that. I've not heard that one. The one I did hear was Spielberg involved with this is when Lucas was shopping around the movie and getting people to watch the film. Like he got like some big directors, like I think Francis Ford Coppola and stuff like that was involved. All of them said this was a pile of shit, this wouldn't work. And he showed it to Spielberg and he was like, this is going to be amazing, this is going to be the next big thing. So Spielberg was one of the ones that was a big, like kind of like a supporter for Star Wars when it first came out. So with me being the older statesman, so with I'll go one of the youngsters first. So I know
you're over here.
Because a few people in the chat are asking if Chris is okay. Chris,
we don't know.
Nobody's even asked how far does the green go down, Chris? How much did you paint?
Oh, he's green all over.
I'll show you later.
Do you wish? Oh, God. We'll find out on Top Grumps on Tuesday. What was your first experience with the wars? Like, can you? I know it's probably like a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
So the first proper experience of Star Wars was probably Episode One, where my dad took us to the pictures to see it. I had seen the original trilogy before, but that was my first proper, like, when was that released? Like 2090 odd?
It was 99.
Like 99,
right on.
Yeah,
the
so I would have been 9 then. So I think that would have been my first like proper introduction, start to go to the films to see it. Seen the original trilogy before, I loved it.
Yeah,
but it was just like, I think it was more catered to me, Episode One, because I was of that age.
Right.
I love Jar Jar Binks.
So you're trying to get friends with Sammy now? Is that what it is? You're trying to get friends?
No.
We are contractually obligated to say Jar Jar is good and we like him. Otherwise, Sammy will kill us.
No, she said at least one person say good, one nice thing. So it's not.
Oh, so the rest of us are free.
Yes.
Yeah. You can say what you want.
Yeah. Fuck Jar Jar.
It's fine. I'll carry that cross.
Well. After, like, see, I made Jar Jar Lee in my little story earlier. So Sammy Lee tonight, we have got the dirty nerf earlier is. What was your little experience with Star Wars? What was your first memory of being with the wars?
Honestly, I couldn't tell you because I was that young. My granda loved sci-fi stuff and he would put Star Trek on and Star Wars and I just kind of got like indoctrinated into it. Which I think is probably how kids actually get into it nowadays. The parents just sitting down, be like, "You're watching this. It's the greatest thing ever." And then up until the new ones came out, I think I would sit at least like once a month and watch the original trilogy. Probably because they were just always on like ITV at like on a Sunday afternoon or something like that, or Saturday afternoon.
Bank holiday watching type thing.
Always seemed to be on the telly, so. I could probably just do the original trilogy word for word, like most of it.
It's not
that many names. I could act in it.
It's not going to be that type of podcast, yeah. We're not going to get laid to recreate.
What happens when it pans over the canteen? What do you do at that point?
Oh, dear. Here we go.
Well, he's good.
Bless. Lee and his impressions, bless him. What about you, Jake? What was your first experience with the wars?
I was gonna say something similar to like to Lee, because I think like in my life it's kind of always existed, if that makes sense. Like I don't remember much of a time before it, but I do have like a memory of seeing I think Empire Strikes Back on like, you know, Sunday afternoon television, like around my grandparents. I think like my parents must have been there as well.
Yeah.
I can remember like seeing the Vader father twist and being like, what? Like what? Really? it's cool because it might always exist. Like, you know, there's probably like posters and tapes in shops and stuff like that. But I still hadn't been spoiled, even though it was like, you know, from the 70s and 80s. But I did not like Episode One. I'm in that kind of weird time bracket where I had the videotapes growing up. I had like one of the box set that was like white and black and sort of had Vader's face on the side. Like,
oh, so yeah, the silver box set.
Yeah, it must have been out in the 90s at some point.
Yeah,
because it was like new for Christmas. But I love the tapes. So like I've technically seen sort of what passes as the original version before they added all the 90s special effects in.
When Han shot first, basically.
Yeah, I think so. But I think the only way to get the proper one in like 4:3 or like the original widescreen or something is like Laserdisc. Which is kind of nuts. I don't know if you can get a download of like that anymore.
They did re-release them on DVD quite a number of years ago, where it was called the original cut.
With those was they were in 4:3, so it had some stuff cut off or like squished in.
Yeah,
and I think the only way to get like the real widescreen one is like original run laser discs or something ridiculous like that. But I think they've been lost, right? Like, because otherwise, why wouldn't Disney release them on 4K?
There's so many different rumors or like lies and stuff like that when it comes to like what released and as stuff. I don't think we'll ever get like the true release. But again, with everything they do, they're probably just biding their time or waiting because there's money. There's money in Star Wars and anything they kind of release, they'll bring it like something out and say, okay, I get this extra like special extra 10 seconds of like I think they use it with Jabba the Hutt, they cut that put that scene back in as well, but
it's so bad as well. He steps up on the tail and he's like
it's not good.
But yeah, like I just like instantly fell in love with this. I think like you were saying, Paul, this was probably my first like sci-fi movie, but I also like used to watch like the classic things like the A-Team and stuff, like, you know, adventure TV programs that my dad liked, and it had that very much like vibe along with like Indiana Jones and stuff where it's like, oh, this is like a proper adventure. Like crazy stuff's happening, there's like weird like characters and weird animals everywhere, and like we're swinging on ropes and we're, you know, chopping people with like lightsabers, which I now realize is like a samurai sword because they were also doing samurai shit.
Definitely.
But yeah, it was kind of like everything that I was set like destined to love just combined into one package.
No, and again, like going back now, like say that the changes that they've made, it's a big difference to, like, as you said, the original trilogy, which again is what I fell in love with as a kid, and I see as like as its purest form. Same as Lee, I probably watched episode one for what's now called episode four, A New Hope. It was just called Star Wars back then. There was none of this New Hope shite.
Oh, when did they drop that, actually? Like, when did that become a title?
I can't remember now, but it was always Star Wars, but I think, I don't know if
I think it was about a year after the original or something like that.
When they realized, oh, we can make another one, so we need to, like,
start putting titles in. But I think it must have been, like, they're watching A New Hope on ITV, like, say, sat down. Unlike you, I absolutely loved it. Like, it's strange, because when you watch it now, there's certain Star Wars films that you watch when you're younger and you think this is amazing. Like when I was a kid, my favorite was Return of the Jedi because I loved the Ewoks. Same. Ewoks was amazing. But when I watch it back now, it is probably the more cringy one at times because
it's very slow as well, isn't it, at the start? Because like last time I tried to watch it, I fell asleep, I think.
But
because it's very like moody at the start and like quiet.
But I think that's when Lucas started realizing the marketing aspect and start adding stuff in to, like, say, to sell stuff or what they could get from.
Come and get some bear toys.
Come get some Ichi Wawa. But yeah.
Is that a nub job?
No, I've got them somewhere, the little one. But yeah. And like I said, that was then the marketing side. And that's where basically the bridge from Return of the Jedi and, like, say, episode one, the Phantom Menace, you can kind of see, like, where Lucas was kind of putting the pieces together and saying, this is what I'm going to mean. Just the technology wasn't quite there to do, like, have his vision by this time. But yeah, I absolutely adore now. Like, it is still and up there with one of my favorite films is Empire Strike Back. Like, the scenes in that movie are so iconic. Like, the Battle of the Hoth is just, like, spectacular, and it looks mesmerizing against, like, the white snow when you see, like, the AT-ATs coming over from the horizon, like the camels and stuff. It's just, like, it's futuristic at its best. And then you get, like, say, probably the second best lightsaber fight in the saga between Vader and Luke, like, say, towards the end when he takes his hand. Because, to be honest, I'll say, as much as I shit on the originals, the Darth Maul fight in Phantom Menace is the greatest lightsaber fight. In my opinion, a lot of people might disagree, but I think they get everything right with that one, from like music, feel, they don't rush it, they take their time. But again, like say with Empire, it's like the fight between Luke and Vader is just so emotional. It's so powerful. Because I was always left a bit flat with the fight, the lightsaber fight in A New Hope between Obi-Wan and Vader.
So bad, isn't it?
Yeah, because you're thinking it's like Obi-Wan, they keep making out that he's like the savior and this is going to be the one that saves everything, and he, in a way, he does, because he sets everything in motion, but the fight is just like it's kind of reminiscent of the one we get with Luke later on.
Someone's made their own version of that fight and put it on YouTube, and it's amazing.
Right, okay.
And it's like them two, like full powered, like they should be, like master Jedis, and it's like fast paced. There's like loads of force moves being used, and it's lethal. It's really good.
So
I wouldn't want to see. I don't want to see old man like Alec McGuinness do like Obi-Wan's like silly pose.
So I know I've just pretty given like a whistle top two of like why I see kind of the things I enjoyed from like say these films. But what are the standouts for yours? Like the Green Goblin there, Chris.
Right. Oh no, sorry. I'm just listening to you. I'm like. Yeah, I'm just.
No. I'm just. I wasn't taking the piss. I was just saying. I'm jumping to you, Chris. Tell us what you love about the wars. Like, what's your like kind of like the things that stand out for you, type thing.
Totally agree. Lightsaber in episode one fight. Mm-hmm. My favorite is Return of the Jedi, though.
Mm-hmm.
I know. You're saying that it used to be when you were younger for Ewoks, but I like the Rancor, Han Solo's freed, Leanna Bra, Sarlacc pit. Yoda dies.
I don't see
Vader dies.
I know it's you're putting Leia in the bra, like kind of just in case it's trying so we didn't miss it. As a kid, you thought that was interesting, did you?
Yeah. We did. You know?
I was more worried about this. I was more worried about the Sarlacc bit, but yeah.
I mean, like the thing is with like that Leia outfit, it always shows up as like, oh, it's the nerd's ultimate fantasy. But like when you actually watch it, like it's not like a sexy scene. It's like not. She's next to a giant slug.
I like the whole sailboat scene. It's not particularly in a bra. It's that whole scene where people are getting hide into the pit. Yeah. It explodes at the end.
And the boy R2-D2 is like, hang on, I got your lightsaber right here.
Yeah, I think that's amazing.
No,
you see Vader's egghead as well.
Oh, yeah, when he takes off the mask and you see...
And he's got his harmonica.
I didn't realise this. At the end, I didn't realise that they're changing for Hayden Christensen.
They've done that now, yes, in the Force Ghost,
That pissed me right off the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
It was the first time I watched it today, and I was like, what the fuck's happened here?
Yeah, yeah. You were like, didn't there used to be a different guy here, and then the people started dragging you out the room?
But no, that kind of does lead
We've
us on.
Told you.
That kind of leads us on to something that we can talk about as well. As I know we brushed on it a little bit when me and Jake were talking about the original cut. There have been so many different changes and versions of Star Wars. Now it's hard to know, like if you were like a novice going into it and saying which is like the ultimate cut, which one, like say, because I know Lucas was very like he was never happy. He was never like say totally down with like everything, and he was always adding like little special effects to try and what he thought was enhancing the movie, but it was like kind of killing it a little bit of time. I noticed there was a when they released it on Blu-ray for the first time, that like say, because I am that much of a bell end, I used to buy it on every single format I used to come out. On the Blu-ray, not wasn't more that they added extra scenes, they added extra sound effects and changed sound effects in that caught me totally off guard. The two big ones is Return of the Jedi. I don't know if you noticed this. In the original cut, when you've got Luke being electrocuted by the Emperor Palpatine and Vader's like deciding what to do, whether to protect Luke or to... let them do
doing his little like
he's doing he just does that but in the new cut they put a sound in like Vader going no. I was like, why have you done that? It's like absolutely ridiculous. And again, they've done funny little sound effects as well. I know like the famous thing they've always left in is when the stormtrooper bangs its head. Before there wasn't a sound effect, now there's a boink. They've actually put a boink sound effect in, and they've done different screams for like the sand people as well. So when the sand people...
that part, the change, the weird noise that Obi-Wan makes when he's like,
So it's kind of like the unfinished cut. So it's like things that they're trying to do to enhance it as well. But I really don't like when
people mess around with audio, because you know, like what you were saying, Lee, where you're like, oh, I could recite. Like the vocal, like you know, the lines of the movie, because you hear like that same thing over and over again, and like Like, yeah, that's the most jarring thing. Like, you can add an extra visual in, and I may or may not notice, but if you change, like, music or a voice line, like, suddenly I'm like, what's that? Like, what's wrong with this copy? Like, did something mess up? But yeah, like, do you guys have what you consider a definitive version? Like, as in, like Paul was saying, like, how would you recommend someone watch this? Like, I think, like, if you could possibly get a hold of, like, the 90, so like I guess the DVD cut isn't too bad, like the one you were talking about that had the extra disc, like that's what I'd maybe try and recommend people watch, like the sort of the one that they brought out like around that time, because it went back to the cinema, didn't it, in like the early 2000s and stuff.
It's had a few cinema releases, like it was a re-release, then when they
went to see it, like I went to see A New Hope with the extra Jabba scene.
So just funny enough, just before they brought out the silver and the gold VHS box set, that was one with the edits. That was it got a cinema run, so they brought all the films out. They've done it every 6 months, so the New Hope, then Empire, then Return, and that led to, like I said, the prequels as well. The last cinema run was quite interesting because it was getting redone in 3D. And the so they brought out A New Hope in 3D and it didn't get a good reception, so they kind of scrapped that after the A New Hope. I know they've just done last year, you know, well, my last year, the year before, when the pandemic hit, when they were trying to get people back in the cinemas, they've done another re-release to try and get people back in the cinema to see like Star Wars or films that you haven't seen before. So that was a good thing, but. With these movies as well, they are amazing on the big screen. Like, don't get us wrong. There's some films that you can watch in the house and you can enjoy. You can enjoy these, but these have taken a whole different level when you're in the cinema experiencing it on the big screen as well.
I don't think there should be a definitive edition for everyone, to be fair. Mm-hmm. So, what's the film? What's the Tarantino film with the briefcase?
Perfection.
Pulp Fiction, and everyone's like, oh, what's in the briefcase? Tarantino says, I'm going off Star Wars here, like people ask him what's in the briefcase, and he's like, whatever the viewer wants to be in the briefcase, because then everyone has their own story. And since I've heard him say that, I see loads of films differently where people are like, oh no, this isn't right, like especially with Star Wars, everyone has their own version that is their definitive version. And I think changing things is brilliant because it keeps people talking about it. If someone's like, oh, that Star Wars film, like, oh, when Vader's doing this, and it's like, oh, that wasn't in the original, you know, and it causes good conversation and like nerdy talk, and it's perfect.
Yeah, you're right, because even if like when Paul was like saying the no thing, I was like, oh, I hate that, but in my mind it was like I hate it, and then I went back to like thinking about what I prefer, and like it leads you back to like, oh well, I still love this thing, even if they have changed it.
It's like, what Yoda do you prefer? Like in Empire Strikes Back, do you prefer the CGI version that they've done in the newer ones, or do you prefer the little puppet thing? The puppet was class.
Oh, he's not CGI in Empire, is he? I thought that was just in Phantom Menace where they changed him.
I don't know.
I think they've like changed some things, haven't they, in the newer ones?
I think they've added a few scenes where he jumps on Luke's back and stuff like that, but. But again, that was a jarring for me to see Master Yoda. Like, I think it was it episode 2 when we see Master Yoda like hobble along, then suddenly go into fight mode and start doing somersaults, backflips. Going full Grandpa Jonas as well, saying faking what he's doing. But again, it's when you like, because if you try and be too clever with this type of thing and start saying, they can't do that. I think we're talking about like a movie set in space where there's like wars and a magical force. It's like you can dispense a little bit of belief and just like turn your brain off and say this doesn't have to make total sense. It can just be fun.
Yeah, it's not hard sci-fi. It's actually closer to like fantasy, like really, like when you think about it. Because like there's loads of stupid things, like you know how like other sci-fi shows like. Like The Expanse and stuff, and like Trek, like they've got like the science like nailed down, you know, like technical manuals and all that stuff, whereas Star Wars is just like a bunch of weird stuff just like crammed together. It's like oh yeah, they don't have television, they don't have like paper, like they don't, like the universe doesn't make sense. It's like, you know, like they have to farm moisture from the desert to survive. And it, like, it's just like loads of, it's interesting though. Like Lee was saying, it gets your, like your imagination, like running like wild.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if you try and, which is what they're doing now, if you try and intercollect all the lore in the movies into like a cohesive thing, like it fights you every step of the way. Cause everyone's like, but he said he beat it in 12 parsecs, and then this ship's faster than the Millennium Falcon, so that means the Millennium Falcon's too slow. Like, it just, like, it starts getting muddy, like, with nerd fights.
But then, everything Star Wars is mental. Like, it's difficult to realize why people actually like it this much, and I think it's because it's just so fun. Yeah. There's nobody in these films that people can really be like, oh, I really relate to that space wizard. or that smuggler or the giant walking carpet.
Like... I was going to say, I've got a fond connection with Chewie. I understand how he speaks. I know how he feels on a daily basis with them moans and cries of having to deal with a Han Solo. And like I say, I'm constantly like beating up my ship that I'm trying to keep fixed.
just fun. Interesting,
but that's the thing. It is pure fun. It is pure joy. Just to like say, watch and experience as well. Though that's the thing. And I think now, because a lot of people are moaning that we're getting so much Star Wars and so many different integrations of it. I don't think that's a bad thing, because it's like literally Star Wars for anyone. So you can literally pick up and go, oh, I want to watch Alderaan. Oh, I want to watch Skeleton Crew. Oh, I want to watch The Mandalorian. Oh, I want to go back and watch the original three. Oh, I'll watch like The Force Awakens and stuff like that. Literally, there is Star Wars for everyone. And I think that's just, like I said, when you get like the level of content, like some, again, might not fall on, like, say, like, be for me. And again, that's not a bad thing. You don't have to watch everything to kind of keep up or keep with the continuity. Yeah. Like, say, there's certain things that, like, think, oh, that's a little nod for you. If you don't get it, it's not going to spoil your experience. And I think that's always been a good thing. The only thing, as you said, with, like, say, the concept, I love the idea of the fantasy. It's when they try and be too clever and change it a little bit and try and bring it into the real world, when they start trying to explain things like the Force with midichlorians, and like I was like, no, it's a mythical Force, it's not genetics, please fuck off with that shit. I don't need to like care about that. Like, like, give me ancient prophecies of chosen ones who's come to like neck on with his sister and make things right.
yeah, why didn't the Force give him the ick about like his sister?
Yeah. But no.
Yeah, like you're right though. I think like it's just whatever's in the movies and like, you know, whichever parts you might like or hate, it's just kind of whatever George Lucas was interested in for that, like, you know, month when he was making like where he was writing the script. Like more than sort of anything, I would say it's like it really is one guy's vision. Like he definitely has like writers and stuff, like people that help him, but for a long time he was like, you know, the law keeper. Like, you would have to ask George if you wanted to do something or put something weird in your script, it would be like ran past him. He stepped back from that now, only just though. Like, he was still doing it on like the Disney cartoons and stuff like that. But yeah, so like that might be why it's a bit inconsistent, because that he's just like, I want to make this now. I want to make a pirate story. I want to, you know, like I want to do like this ship is now even better than any ship you've ever seen before. Like, where did it get built? I don't care. It just shows up. Like, it's like that kind of thing.
But that's the fun aspect. What I do love about Star Wars as well is the take risks, the try things that like other franchises or things might stay away from. Like, even in the early days, like, people still talk about it as one of the worst Christmas specials ever made, but it's out there. So you can watch it now. I think it was on Disney Plus for a little bit. I don't know if it's still there.
Yeah, it was.
That's an experience. That's someone's drug dream just on one. But
I've never watched it, but I've seen like clips, and I think Carrie Fisher might have been on downers for most of it.
I think all the cast
you'd have to be though, because like Lee says, it's crazy. Like, you walk onto that set and there's like three Wookiees, including like Lumpy, Chewbacca's son, and you're probably just standing there on the soundstage being like,
but give us more lore on like things like Boba Fett. Like, it's like that's where Boba Fett start becoming like a big character because of the Christmas special.
Yeah, he got a little cartoon.
Oh, is that what it is?
I like that people are giving lore to some other people, but there's ones where we don't need lore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's way too much backstory for things. Right, who the fuck's this guy? This Prince Charles without his face on,
that's
right?
Bosk.
That's Bosk. I don't know who he is.
He's a bounty hunter.
Wasn't he in Empire Strikes Back just standing up on the balcony and now someone's wrote a whole, like, 50 million page backstory for him, and it's like, I don't care, he was just a background character.
He's class. He's called Bosk. He's a Trandoshan, a race of lizard people who are good hunters.
I've just noticed something as well.
Badmouth Bosk.
As Lee just came on to show off his new found collectible Star Wars figures that he found in the attic. Is that what he's doing?
Yeah,
now?
Well, do it.
Bex put them in here like the other week when I got them off my gran, and I completely forgot about it until earlier on the day. I was like, oh, I've got these. So,
you had a proper like Principal Skinner moment, didn't you? Like, they're all here.
To be fair, I'm still planning on how to get them from Lee's house to mine. No, that's the thing.
What's that?
That's Ahsoka. Oh, you won that, didn't you?
Oh,
yeah.
That was one of the prizes. Yes. Take it out of its box.
Yeah.
But this.
It's disappointed looking Rosario Dawson, everyone's favorite.
No, but I think I think everyone kind of does have like some Star Wars or merchandise kicking about as well. I think
know where it is. I was looking. I don't know if I do.
Oh, I've still got all my Tazos as well, man.
Oh, the Tazos.
I must have collected the Tazos.
Yeah, I've got some of them. There you go. I do have. Yep. No.
Any metal ones? Oh,
whoa! You can't just brandish that at us.
Yes. Pull a lightsaber.
Can you imagine if Chriska had a little green one there?
Is that your view?
So realistic, the special effects.
had to whip it out on stream. So yeah, so that'll be one. That, you can tell Sammy's not on here to try and collar us.
Oh no, we're there.
Right.
Oh, got your little Pez.
You've got your little Pez dispenser.
Beep boop.
Yeah.
Beep boop.
Oh yeah, actually yeah. How does everyone feel about droids? Because when I was a kid, C-3PO was one of my favorite characters because he wanders about. And he kind of says the things that a normal person would say, like in the scenes, where he's just like, "What's everyone talking about? Like starships, Jedi's?" He's like, "I just want an oil bath." Like he's like kicking R2-D2 because he's getting like annoyed that he's like going the wrong way. I found him relatable because I was like, "Yeah, this crotchety old robot just wants to go home and rest."
Wasn't there a midget in R2-D2 just swearing like all the time? Wasn't that his lines was just swearing?
Kenny Barker,
I had a driver, didn't it?
Yeah, Kenny Barker was in
there. Scary in there though.
But I don't know how Anthony Daniels survived in that outfit as well though. That's the thing. That would have been horrible to navigate.
He hated it. Apparently everyone used to bully him and leave him on set in the outfit and just wander.
Not let you for dinner.
Aye, kind of. But what's everyone's favorite droid then? Because there's too many to pick from, but everyone loves at least one.
There's always some fun ones. What I loved about the movies as well, the droids.
Gonk droids.
the droids kind of had their own personalities, like all of them, like each of them. Like even when you go on, I can't remember which one it was, where, and it's like the torture and the droids as well, like in the water on
that's
the ship.
A gonk. Yeah, that's a gonk. The little battery guys who are like, gonk, gonk. Like just with the two legs out the bottom.
Oh, but no, it's weird. When I was younger, I loved 3CPO. Like, I really loved him. I loved the figure. It was one of my favorite figures to have. The annoying thing is, I did have an original R2, like, not the original, the one that goes like £20,000 now. I had one I think if you had the green, if you get the one with the green pop up, it's worth a couple of grand. I had the blue one. And I used to go take it in the bath, so I've completely ruined that now. So it was worthless. But probably my favorite was 3CPO. Apparently, like surprisingly, even though when you watch him now in the prequels, he is so irritating. Even in the new ones, he's like, oh, why are you being a dick now? But like, as you said in the original three, he was the only one that spoke sense, and you were like, just listen to him. He's telling you what the fuck's going on, what you should be doing. He's
like, never tell me the odds. I'd say, yeah. But he's right. What about you, Lee? Who's your favorite droid creep?
I mean, I think I loved R2 because just he was so cool, even though like you didn't know what he was saying, but 3PO would always be like, R2, that's, you can't say that. And like you knew he was saying something bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, do you know the other droid, the little white and orange one, where
R4, the bayonet
from the, I can't, what are the little people called?
Jawas.
The Jawas, yes.
The Jawas are selling it, and like I'd always be like seeing that him trying to come forward, and he'd be like, fuck off, you're not a main character, get away, we want R2. So I would never play with this little orange and white droid.
Who are R4? Do you know in the Expanded Universe books, they reveal that R4 is force sensitive, that droid, and he blew up his own head so that the universe would get the right droid in Luke's hands. So, that's some deep lore for you.
So did we hear that Lee only plays with main characters? Is that what Lee's saying as a kid? He's like fuck the side characters.
That's why he hates Bossk.
Yeah, it was like it was all about the main characters, but then like as a kid it was like, oh my god, Luke Skywalker's the best. Now that I'm old, it's like, god, Luke Skywalker's such a loser.
I still love him.
I have to admit, like the new,
I want to go and pick up some power converters.
The new with the new trilogy we got, like the Force Awakens and stuff, I did love BB-8. Like, say I've got a little BB-8 here. It's actually a remote control.
Don't make
as well.
Us bring up the Neil deGrasse Tyson tweet.
Because watch, his head comes off, it's magnet. And so it actually it links up to your phone and it actually rolls about your house. So you can actually move it around.
They tried real hard with the marketing on BB-8. It worked, I think. There was even that thing where he like does a thumbs up with a little lighter, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like a little blowtorch.
That was so cheesy, yes.
They tried. Chris, what were you saying?
I was just, can you not remember the Neil deGrasse Tyson tweet about BB-8? Where he was like, it's physically impossible for BB-8 to go on sand. It'll be skidding all over. Be doing this. And everyone just said, shut the fuck up.
It's like, Neil deGrasse Tyson, like... you're the reason that we can't class Pluto as a planet. We hate you. It's fine.
Oh, I love Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, he literally said,
I
thought
that's you were
going to
say, I
love
Pluto there.
That's the last tweet you made about a film like being scientifically inaccurate because of all the hate he got.
No one cares about Pluto. I don't care if those people are up there trying to mine the place, like in Rick and Morty.
The ice mine.
All right.
Just ask a question then. Like, say, if we're talking about droids, can we class Darth Vader as a droid? Because technically, he's mostly robot, isn't he?
More cyborg, wouldn't he?
Isn't that? I mean, is it a cyborg droid? Like, would you class RoboCop as a droid?
Cyborg.
I suppose he's less emotional than a droid because he's trying real hard to be like, I've crushed all of my emotions and I hate my son. But yeah, like I think he's probably on a lesser rung than a droid because like C-3PO had feelings. he was sympathetic to things.
I was gonna say 3CPO had more feelings than Vader at times as well. So
yeah, what did you guys watch that Obi-Wan series? Because that's probably like the biggest dip back into like the OG trilogy lore we've had for like a long time.
I know a lot of people give it hate online, but I actually really enjoyed it. I thought like it added to it because people hated little Leia. That was the one thing that people didn't like about it. But it didn't irritate me as much as people. Like I enjoyed the aspect and seeing Vader being Vader, because what people don't realize when we watch back the original trilogy, you see very little of Darth Vader and what he's capable of. Like, fair enough, he chokes a few people with a force choke and stuff like that, but he doesn't really show like why people are so terrified of him. And I think,
well, they're not terrified of him because that guy in the boardroom is just like, your crappy religion, like this is a space station. He's got some balls on him, that guy.
One of them is Tarkin that tells him to stop. And he's like, hey, let's pack it in. And Vader's like one of the most powerful people in the galaxy. Why is he not like, listen, mate, I'll do whatever I want.
No, he's his old mate from the Clone Wars. That's the story there.
But yeah,
because like Tarkin was like a horrible guy, and then he was like, oh, that Anakin Skywalker, he likes to cut corners and disobey the rules. I like his style. So I think they're just friends because they're assholes.
But I quite liked the when like saying the Obi-Wan series when we see Vader going full Vader, because we got glimpses. It was,
yeah. And like when he like wrecks up that town and he's like pulling people through windows and stuff, like that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was just weird for them to do like the like a proper Obi-Wan Vader fight. I know like some fans are wanting to see it, but I think it was like it was just a bit weird because I don't know if we needed to see that. I don't think it added anything for me. But yeah, the parts where he was like a horror movie character like were awesome.
I think with a lot of the new stuff as well, like they're kind of adding and try and give you extra for certain characters. I know like Vader's one, but then when you go back to like say the Mandalorian and they try to give you a little bit, because I'm not saying Luke's legacy has been tarnished in a way, because when we got the new films and we expected to see Luke Skywalker the kind of the way we all wanted and remembered, and we didn't kind of get that. But
don't let me up in with that, because I loved like Luke acting exactly like Yoda acted, because like that's who taught him.
Right.
Like he didn't really have any Jedi teachings. He doesn't know much about Jedi stuff because he only got to talk ghosts about it.
That's why I'm being careful with my words, because I don't want to say like it's shit nerd, but it wasn't quite what I was hoping for when we kind of got to see Luke and we wanted to see Luke versus like it's here.
Can we at least all agree that worst Luke is the one who's like, now Grogu, you can either have a lightsaber or some Mandalorian armor, or I'm gonna have to kick you out. And it's like, what are you even talking about?
It kind of neglected, like it made the whole Luke return, not saying any special, but it kind of like took the gloss off it a little bit, because
it was cool when he killed all the droids at like the end of the first season. Like that was a cool moment. That was like proper hype, and especially how they did it, where it didn't reveal who it was, but you knew because he had one black glove, and you're like, it's gotta be, but you didn't really know because like,
I think because you were late, because the lead up to that was done so well, because there was rumors online that we were going to get a Jedi. I think they announced we were getting a Jedi at the end of that season, and that was the whole does, and they kept on saying it was going to be this person, there was going to be that person, there was even talk about going to be the Jedi from the game. What was the game called?
Like Cal Kestis.
Cal Kestis, that was the one.
Yeah.
And then, because no one thought they would have the balls to go Luke. Because let's be honest, Luke is a big character, and you think Mandalorian, and they went for Luke, and you saw him being like
badass.
The one thing. And again,
that corridor scene.
Oh, like that, the whole season. Like I wish, like everything that followed the Mandalorian was up to that level. But Jesus Christ, that end episode. I'm not like. You saw all these videos of people watching it crying. I was crying. I couldn't believe that they got everything so right. And I think I've had this comment before. I know it's quite rich saying this on an All Bad Boy podcast, where they did on the Avengers Endgame, where they had the women power, where all the female superheroes come together and fought like the armies, and it was kind of felt forced. Mm-hmm. When they did this on the Mandalorian, where they had the she who should not be named now, and like I say, Sasha Banks and the others kind of grouping together, and like showing how badass like the female fighters in Star Wars was, but it wasn't rammed down your throat. It happened naturally, and it was a good flow to it. So it was kind of like, oh, this is amazing. This is what I really wish they did with the Avengers type thing, but.
Because those were like the people he'd picked up on like all of his little missions, wasn't it? It was like all of his friends had to come together. Even Boba Fett was there hanging about in the ship, like running interference and stuff.
Is she who should not be named the buff UFC fighter woman or something like that?
I don't remember what her character was called or anything. That's a problem with Star Wars, as me and Chris like to make fun of. Like the names are kind of ridiculous and hard to keep track of.
To be fair though, like if we were in Star Wars world, I don't think we would get Chris out of the cantina. I think he would just be sitting there with all his little weird little mates. Like,
I would love that. Drinking me blue milk.
Yeah, your blue milk cocktails.
Paul, you would be there as well. You'd be going wrong going, he doesn't like you. I don't like you either.
I'll be careful.
Bless. But interesting question as well. So, say this was a fantasy game or we were in the Star Wars universe, what kind of character or person would you be? Would you be part of the Rebel Alliance? With Chris being a welder, would he be the one that's part of the contractors that's building the Death Star?
Do you know what my honest movie first thought was? I'd be Salacious Crumb.
Do you know who built the Death Star? It wasn't welders, like it was those bug creeps from the Clone Wars movie. What are they called? The Geonosians, the flying guys.
They would have had some independent contractors that weren't fully Federation standard. I would say there would have just been people.
It's in Andor.
Nobody watched that show.
The Geonosians built the space station, and then had other people build the weapon. Apparently,
right.
And then the Empire genocided the bug people afterwards. They're bad people, everyone. You don't want to dress up as a stormtrooper.
So, Lee, who would you be? What kind of personnel would you be in the Star Wars universe?
I wouldn't be on the good side. I used to be like all this, like, oh yeah, Jedi's, I love them. But then it's like, as the new ones come on and you find out, like, oh no, don't have any feelings, don't love anyone or anything like that. And it's just like,
well, don't like sand.
That absolutely sucks.
Don't like sand.
Like, if you were if you had all the Force powers, you'd be going around like stealing everything and.
Right.
Doing whatever you want. You probably just don't remember the scene because it wasn't added in of like Anakin talking to Padme going, this is the dong you're looking for.
Dear.
Oh no.
This can do whatever they want.
But I thought just used his angel line to get get in there.
I wouldn't be going that far.
You want to take that dress off here now.
It only works on the weak-minded. Remember, Padme was pretty strong-willed.
Yeah, she had the Nancy vibes with it, looking after the little kid. But yeah,
do you guys like the Sith? Like the Jedi?
Yeah, I always thought they were quite cool. But now you're getting older and you watch it back, you always realize that Han Solo was probably the cooler character because he was the one that blurred the lines.
Han Solo's not cool, man.
I was gonna say, don't you dare call
that brother rather than kissing him, man.
Don't you dare call Han Solo a bitch. But yeah, but that was just.
I can imagine Lee doing that thing that Luke does as well, like that.
you thought Han was cool up until about halfway through The Empire Strike Back, and then his mate Lando comes in, who's just like, "Hey, baby," and he's just this like proper smooth black guy that's just. He's got it, and he's just like,
yeah.
Billy Dee Williams is cool anyway.
Yes, like I said, Billy Dee Williams is amazing in Lando, and I think they realized how good that character was in Empire Strike Back because they had him like as a bigger role in Return of the Jedi, yes.
Yeah, because he was a bastard in Empire, and then he got to be a hero finally.
kind of give him
my cloud city.
Also, exactly, like Lando has a whole cloud city that he like runs and owns.
It's just a gas man.
Han Solo basically lives in his car.
Would you live? Basically, he's like the CEO of like E.ON or something, or British Gas. He's just sat there on his stupid gas city.
So. Now you've mentioned the vehicle. So is the Millennium Falcon the greatest vehicle in pop culture?
That's a piece of junk.
It is, but
it is.
I don't actually like the shape of it. If I'm going for like Star Wars ships, I like the X-wing best.
Right. Okay.
If I had to go for pop culture, the DeLorean. The DeLorean just absolutely smashes the Millennium Falcon out the park, man.
But they're both ugly. Well. Ugly vehicles, though, aren't they?
Yeah, but the DeLorean works.
Yeah, it's got a tall window in it as well.
Right. So the Millennium Falcon can go light speed. The DeLorean go 60. Was it 56 miles an hour?
Right, but yeah. But the Millennium Falcon, if they were like, oh, let's have a race to the other side of the galaxy, the DeLorean could drive there and then just time travel back to beat the Millennium Falcon like 5 seconds before it arrives and be like, yeah, I win.
But they need a certain amount of gigawatts to do it.
That's why you need the power converters. Gotta go to Joshi Station or whatever. What did you think of that Solo movie that like expanded on the lore, in even lore of the Millennium Falcon, the ship? Because you saw it had an escape pod like latched into that front part where there was always a gap.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, so he never replaced that.
Mm-hmm.
His robot became the ship computer, like the droid that he thought that Lando kind of fancied became the ship brain.
Right.
And it's like, oh, I don't know if I needed to know this about the Millennium Falcon either. Like they've definitely got a problem with adding too much lore, like where it doesn't belong sometimes.
I didn't,
like, did you like Solo, like overall?
I thought it was a good movie. I think the problem with Solo is the stuff that like came out before and after Solo, so it kind of tarnished it a little bit, because there is a whole Solo movie that's never been released. Literally, the movie was filmed, they thought it was garbage, and they got Ron Howard in to redo it. Well, they originally said, well, can you recut it? And he went, no, this is garbage. So they reshot the whole movie. So it's an interesting one. I would be interested to know what was so bad about the one that was originally made, where they thought they couldn't do it. They had to be remade. But I think the problem with Solo after that as well, it didn't live up to the hype, or because it was coming after Rogue One, which just blew up and done as a kind of like a side quest, because it was like the original ones and they were going to have these side movies as well. When Solo came out, it was kind of like they spent so much money on it and it didn't do as well. It kind of killed that kind of like all the little mini projects or the mini films for a short while. That's why they moved into like things like The Mandalorian for the TV, because of what happened. But if you watch it as a standalone one, yes, there's some elements. Emily Clark's character makes no sense when you're watching it as well. And having
she double crosses like everyone like every scene.
every single thing she gets. But then you get they bring Darth Maul in, kind of hint that they're gonna bring Darth Maul.
Absolutely freaked out in the cinema at that. I'm sitting top next to Bex and I'm just like, Bex, Bex! Darth Maul!
He's alive! Then he never came back again. No. But no, I do like Solo, like as an overall thing. Mm-hmm. But people got really hung up on the casting as well. And they wouldn't let it go. And it's like, look, it's young Han Solo. It can't be Harrison.
No.
I'm sorry.
It's one of those things that when you've got like such an iconic character, it's for years, the rumored that they were going to recast or, have a younger person play Indiana Jones, and the shitstorm.
Yeah.
It's like, you do realize Harrison Ford is in his 80s. He can't keep playing, even though they keep trying to make him. Like, I think he sued one of the Star Wars films for breaking his leg on set because the door came down and broke his leg.
Yeah, he got
on
crushed by the Millennium Falcon.
So even the ship was against him then. No wonder he hates the films.
Harrison Ford's 82 now.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's 82, and they've just cast him in that new Captain America.
Yeah,
but the guy that died, what's he called?
I know what you mean, but it was the guy's
William.
He was only 75.
Yeah,
and he's playing like Thunderbolt Ross, who's like a main Hulk character, and it's like you've cast an older person. I don't want to say this, but I have to. Like, Harrison Ford's not going to be around for much longer. It's going to be sad when he goes.
You take that back.
But they're going to have to recast him again. I don't know why they didn't just hire someone in the 50s or something.
I don't know, because I think
the Disney casting decisions always baffle me, especially modern ones. But I think when this hit in the 70s, like the casting was amazing, especially like how it had loads of like Hammer horror guys. Just randomly dotted about, because that's what like George was like, oh, I loved you in Dracula. Why don't you come and be this like absolute, like, you know, detestable bad guy? And obviously, like, Carrie Fisher's, like,
yeah,
incredible, like, all the way through.
I know about an alternate casting, well, someone that actually auditioned for Han Solo. I feel like I am being Sammy here with me alternate castings. Yeah. Sylvester Stallone auditioned for Han Solo.
Oh, I did read that, yeah.
And I've seen him talking about it, saying, like, he went in, he's standing in front of them, and he's like, hey, you're the London Falcon, you're... And he's like, I'm not right for this part, am I? Oh, I'll just leave.
he just walked out himself.
At a Newcastle Comic Con a few years ago, they had Carl Weathers. This is before he did The Mandalorian. And he was talking about movies and stuff that he missed out on or that he wishes he got involved in. He says he wasn't ever cast or had a chance to be it, but he was filming something around about the same time as where Star Wars was getting filmed. And he kept on picking an eye and having a look, and he was going, this is some weird shit. And he was like, and again, I think another film he wanted to get in on was Jaws, but he didn't get cast that. But he was saying, he was just like watching it going, this is not going to work. This is just so bizarre. It was so out there. And he always said he wishes he'd try to push himself into the Star Wars universe now, which we found out he did later on because he was cast in The Mandalorian. But he was going to say, like, the amount of money people made from Star Wars, like, even like now, if you think about it, like the big park, there's like cons up and down the world, not just in the UK but America, have these characters that played like officer on the left to Darth Vader that's standing in the background. He's getting them in convents, so you can make a career off.
Lauren's like, gonna be there. I'm there.
Just being like being an extra in Star Wars, you can have a career for the rest of your life doing nerdy shit, which just blows my mind.
But... And it still has that like reverence, doesn't it? Like, you know, if you see somebody from like anyone who was like a part of like the original Star Wars, you're just like, okay, well, that's nerd royalty. And like, wasn't like Mark Hamill kind of an unknown as well?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, he'd come out of nowhere. Yeah. I know the studio didn't want him, but like I say, they got him in, and like I say, that after the Star Wars, the New Hope, they loved him. He nearly didn't come back for the Empire Strike Back because he had a car accident.
Yes,
because that's why
his face kind of changes.
Yeah, so that's why they had a write in that he was attacked by the oh, I've got the beast now. What was it Wumpa?
You've got one, haven't you? Or did you not buy it?
No, it's down there. I've got the Wumpa there. I've actually got a Rancor there as well, like an original Rancor.
Really?
Yeah. I've had a Super Glue's arm back on because when I bought him, his arm was this the elastic because what they used in the toys that long to get them like the motion, they had just an elastic band, and with it being like father time, elastic doesn't always age well, so it basically come away. So rather than just be like have arms like not sticking together, I super glued it on so one arm, his arms doesn't move now. But it's still cool. Yeah. It's still an amazing action figure. That was one of the things I wanted to ask you as well, because there is some amazing creatures, not just like say in the original trilogy, but going back through like say the new ones, the prequels, even the shows. What's your kind of like favorite beasties or like animals in these movies as well?
Oh yeah, and like the cool thing about, you know, like the Mandalorian, it kind of brought some of those like creeps back, didn't it? Because apparently those like horrible spiders were like old drawings from like concept art and things. But oh, I don't know, like creatures. You know, I don't want to like, I don't like him, as in like I don't think he's cool. But as a kid, I always thought the scene in the trash compactor was really creepy. Where there's that like,
oh yeah,
is that weird? Scary? Yeah.
Yeah, that weird squid thing. You see its eye just be like, and then it's like, and then suddenly everyone's being like, wow. And then they think they're like dead and stuff. But I don't know what that creature is. It probably has lore or something about why it's in the trash compactor.
it eats the trash. But yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Lee?
It's going to sound cliche, but Ewoks.
Right.
I think I was the right age for. Like Lucas definitely put them in like as a marketing tool for like, hey kids, look at these cute little fuzzy bears. Like And I was right about that age when it came out for it to be like, oh my God, like I love these things. And then even getting older, it's like, it's the whole like, what is it like, nature will always defeat sort of like the technology kind of stuff. Because they're just fighting all of these like highly advanced robots with rocks and sticks
How did you
and
feel
still
about
beating them.
the new version when when George Lucas decided that Ewoks could blink? So
I don't think
they put
I
in
don't think I
blinking
ever
eyes.
noticed the word blinking, if you
No,
know what I mean.
I didn't realize. And also the fact that they eat the stormtroopers. Like, they definitely ate them. Like, I never realized that until I was a bit older.
Eat
But it's like
Chihuahua.
they were trying to cook Luke and them earlier on, and then they've killed all them
Like,
stormtroopers and they're
isn't it
eating
like Han Solo? Like, doesn't he sort of like try and blow the fire out underneath them and stuff? That's just some really funny like Paul was saying earlier, like the fun, like the funny movies, like they weren't like PG or anything. They were like Universal, weren't they? Like back in the day, I don't know what they are now, but like they are a proper like a good time, even though the characters might be going through horrible stuff. It's fun for us to watch. I'm trying to think of more monsters now, but I'm totally blanking.
No, like I say, the Rancor was always my favorite from Return of the Jedi. I think Jedi had some amazing monsters, like
Ooh, the
the Sarlacc
Sarlacc,
pit.
I don't want to go anywhere near it,
Yeah.
but hearing about it as a kid, you're like, what the hell? It's gonna digest. He's in there now. But apparently he gets out, as we saw in Book of Boba
The cave worm thing is so cool as well, where they like hide on the
Oh,
asteroids. Yeah.
because they brought the worm back, like almost like the Dune episode in The Mandalorian with Timothy Olyphant as well. That was quite cool.
Oh,
But even like
right,
say some of the old school monsters like Jabba the Hutt, like what a fucking like a giant slug, like how amazing. That shouldn't work in any way, but it look great. And I know we mentioned before, just looking around and like seeing what's in the cantina, it's just fucking like brilliant, like the puppeteer. And again, that's why it's always like a little bit of a shame that Lucas felt the need to go back in with the CGI brush and like kind of because the puppeteering was up
yeah.
there and like so amazing type thing.
And that weird guy with the butt for a mouth who's like, and he's like, but yeah, why doesn't he like Luke? I
I
keep on saying,
struggle.
like, what's his story? I think there is a book about everyone in the cantina, if anyone does want to know, but I don't know off the top of my head.
I struggle to take that whole beginning bit seriously now after seeing Geordie Star Wars on YouTube, where
Right.
it's like Obi-Wan going look pointing to the town and be like, "You'll never find a place full of more wretched scum and villainy." And it looks over, and then someone's voiced over going, "Sunderland."
Yeah, I definitely have described certain parts of Sunderland as hives of scum and villainy. It's just a
Classic.
really good line.
I will go to I think it's Elia. They've got the Skull and Villainy Cantina in like you can actually go to the bar. There's a bar kitted out.
Does
Like
it play that song constantly,
I don't know if it's constantly,
24/7?
but Kevin Smith does the Fat Man podcast live from it each week as well. So you can actually see
Oh, wow.
Kevin Smith filming the podcast there as well.
Get to
But
see his giant hockey shirt in person.
He's not giant now. He's
His
tiny
shirt
like
is, though.
I was gonna say, he's tiny. He's tiny like Chris. He's like a little kid, Chris. But
Chris
yeah,
didn't get to pick his favorite little freak.
yeah.
Is it Babu Frick?
Oh, I was gonna say the Rancor keeper, the handler,
Right.
Oh,
and
that lad.
the little pig man thing. He's like,
Oh, I've got the pig and
oh,
he
yes,
dies.
the Gamorrean gods. Yes, everyone loves those.
And the trash compactor thing is called a Dianoga.
Right.
Okay.
It's a trash cephalopod.
All right.
So, I could do with one of those, I think.
But yeah, so if we go back, like I said, all the different incarnations that we've had of the Star Wars, even the new ones now, because as I said, we've got, like I say, the ones that came out, like Ahsoka, as you said, Andor, we've got Skeleton and Crew. Watch now, like I'm not talking about, like, say, as childlike or teenagers, what's your favorite version of Star Wars now? What do you feel like is personalized to you?
On Lee
This
can
is a
go, Chris.
difficult question. Chris, have you got anything?
My favorite moments personalized to me.
Oh, no, no, it's the favorite, like favorite, like, let's say favorite either film or TV. Like, what's your, which one you love the most now?
It still, hands down, Return of the Jedi.
Right.
I kind of move away from that. I haven't kept up with the newer stuff, but it was the first time I saw Vader's head, and that was all I could talk, anyone could talk about when that came out, or when my friend group seen it.
Look at his head, man.
He's proper Eggman.
Well,
Death Star 2. And it was the sister reveal.
The sister reveal.
I like that one, dude. Yeah. Accidental incest. My favorite.
Or that didn't go to school in heaven. One of us.
It is kind of like it's Return of the Jedi is weird though, because like Yoda just like decides to like die in bed.
Yeah,
like it's
yeah.
so funny.
But to be fair though, Vader does it quite creepily though when he reveals the sister thing. He's like, sister. Maybe she will join me. It's like, we're there. Are we going down a route we don't want to go down here?
Which
Vader?
Is really messed up when you see like you know, revenge. Is it, what are they called? Is it like Revenge of the Sith? Is that the third episode three?
It was called Revenge of the Jedi originally. That one.
No, I mean like, you know, episode three with Anakin and everything. But like he really wanted those kids. Like, you know, like so like to think that what, like 18 years later you would be like, I'm gonna friggin' mess with my son's head as soon as I find out like we're related and stuff like that. Like it that was a weird retcon to try and get your head around. I can answer like my favorite Star Wars things. Like movies wise, I'll always go back to A New Hope, because like I know Empire is like technically a better movie, but it's like the dark chapter, and it has like a weird sort of like sad ending. And I think I like the start of the journey and all that stuff on like, you know, Tatooine and stuff. And I really like the sort of triumphant Death Star exploding. Everyone except Chewie gets the medal. Because I don't know why. I don't know why they chose
him. Because he don't deserve it.
He did get one. I think they went back and gave him one in a comic and in the books. I looked it up because I was wondering why as well. Because I think George Lucas said, "Oh yeah, Wookiees don't appreciate medals, so there's no point in giving them their race." And they're like, "Oh, it's for the honor." And then they were like, "Oh no, actually, we'll give them a medal."
Right.
Yeah, I think it's true that they're not supposed to wear like clothes and stuff. Like, you know, that's for
only bandoliers.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but then other Wookiees have got like, you know, decorations and the beards and stuff. So like, it can't be the reason for the medal.
Yeah.
I don't know. You get like, I think they paint themselves in a corner and say, "Oh, we can't really change that now."
He just forgot, or like on set, they just didn't have like a fifth medal or whatever. But like TV shows wise, like Andor's been one of the best things like in Star Wars, like definitely recently. And I feel like that's a show that grew up with me, like, you know, and everyone else, like. It's kind of the show you should be watching as like an old like Star Wars fan, like 30 plus. I don't think like Ahsoka and stuff, and like the cartoons are really made for us anymore. I still like them and stuff. Skeleton Crew seems good as well. I've only seen like 5 or 6, but that's a weird retelling of Treasure Island. Like it's pirates. Like it's full on like Long John Silver. Like reference and like, you know, like the Treasure Island story is in there. It's weird, but I like it because I love pirates and I love Star Wars. So just jam them together.
I think someone's mentioned that. There. I think someone mentioned that it was like kind of like the Goonies in space. So that's probably why I'll check it out type thing.
It's I wouldn't say it's full Goonies because it's like it goes places. It's like it's still planet hopping and stuff, like,
right?
As it like Star Wars kind of always is. But yeah, it's literally like, you know. One of them's called like Silvo, and like this other like similar names to like Treasure Island and stuff. So I was just like, that's weird, but again, not unwanted. I just didn't expect it.
What about you, Lee?
I mean, I'm still just trying to think if I've heard of this Andor thing. I don't think Jake's mentioned it before.
No, I try not to.
No, I know you love Andor. Like, you would so like good. Just be talking randomly in like DMs and stuff, and it would just be added in anywhere you could. Like, oh, guys, I'm just off to the shops. Watch Andor.
Yeah, and you never did.
No,
I've never got around to it. I do want to watch it.
When's the new season out?
I think that is April or something like that.
That's not far. I don't think
that's when my Star Wars fandom finishes. It's just gonna once that's over, it's like there's nothing else to watch.
I'll watch it before April so I can get caught up before the new season comes out.
Okay.
So I know that Empire Strikes Back is the best Star Wars film because it has got everything, and it's got that twist ending, which is like one of the most iconic moments in cinema history. Mm-hmm. But my favorite is Phantom Menace. And I don't want to talk about it too much because Sammy's not here, and I feel like I'm betraying Sammy by speaking about episode one when that's like her favorite as well. But it's just such a happy, nice time, and it's a complete film. It's its own thing. Like, it could stand alone.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't know that Darth Vader becomes him later on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so magical, and it's got all of these crazy creatures just showing up that you've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
It's got like little hints at things for like hardcore fans going like, oh my God, they've like mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, everyone is from Naboo. R2-D2. They build the droids better on that planet.
The spaceships definitely look nicer.
New stuff. I love Obi-Wan. I love that TV show. Not even for Obi-Wan or like the Darth Vader moments. Leia in that show, Child Leia, is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
She's just I can't even describe it. I don't know.
I think I did really like that episode where they end up on like the weird like grotty planet, like where he's kind of looking for her, and you see that like old clone who's like, you know, like trying like begging for credits and stuff. They should have went more in that direction, I feel like. Like, what the hell is the world like after the Clone Wars and stuff? Because, but yeah, like, I didn't hate young Leia. I just maybe thought, like, why is it in the Obi-Wan and Anakin show?
I'm trying to put this as nice as I can about a child, but she captures, like, the dick side of Leia. Like, you know when Leia's, like, being a bit of a dick to people? She captures that side of Leia perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Where she's just, like, trying to order Obi-Wan around and be like, listen, do you know who I am, mate?
Because she stops being a princess, really, doesn't she? Like, after the first one, really.
Yeah.
And then after that, she's, like, a rebel person.
Mm-hmm.
But I quite like that, like, sassy princess when she's all, like, you know.
That's the word I was trying to look for, sassy.
No, you're just calling her a dick. Lisa's calling anyone who's sassy is a dick, but that's fine.
Yeah, when it's like on your little short for a stormtrooper, like when he goes to rescue her and all that.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's a difficult one. As I said, it is a difficult question to answer. Like, I'm trying to mull it over in my head because there's so many different aspects and things that I kind of love. As Lee said, Empire Strikes Back is my all time favorite, but closely followed by Rogue One. Like that film had no right to be as good and as impactful as it did, especially when you're going in, you know kind of how it ends. But it's not about like the ending of that story. It's like the journey and how they got there, which is like kind of the important thing. I loved The Mandalorian at times. I think it captures certain aspects of Star Wars, that thing. Even like the new tweet, like say with Rhea came through, had amazing, like the starting film, like The Force Awakens is up there with one of the top level Star Wars films. It's kind of like they didn't know, or they should have planned out more what they kind of wanted or how they were going to go and tell the stories that they wanted to, rather than it felt like bits were kind of stuck in for no other reason.
It feels like they did have a different plan for things after episode 7, but because nothing seemed to go the way that they had it. Like, they set up all these characters and then just got rid of most of them.
Yeah, and then brought Palpatine back. That made no sense at all. But even though, like I said, this long-lost Sith planet that nobody knew about, but they had, like Armada there that must have been built by, like, some wizards. And like, but again, there's certain aspects, but there's so many good things or amazing things that comes from Star Wars that kind of, as Jake said, some stuff is wrote for fans, some stuff is wrote for people like newbies to find and kind of get attached to as well.
They have something for every age group, which is quite interesting, but again, it's not really a thing that any nerds like take on board. Like, they're just like, oh, I need to watch everything. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, they have, like, young adult shows that have, like, I say Skeleton Crew probably would skew more, like, in sort of, like, preteen children. Mm-hmm. The Acolyte was probably more of, like, a teen show, you know, like, mm-hmm. And I think that's where people get hung up. They're like, they don't know, mm-hmm. they don't know what they're watching half the time. Because I think with the sequel trilogy, I think everyone thought it's going to be the ending. Like, it's going to be, like, the final ending to, like, Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And clearly that's not what Disney were thinking when they were making it. They were like, this is the new beginning. You're going to love these guys. And then everyone kind of didn't. But then they also sort of did try and end the Palpatine thing, like, definitively, mm-hmm. which we didn't even need. Like,
no,
like,
we had had an ending for him. Like, say that it was quite, but...
Like, Tooney's saying in the chat, poor Snoke, that could have built up to be something amazing.
Because everyone was
like, oh, he's just a clone.
Or at least tell us what the point was. You know, like, fair enough, if he's gonna just get killed and, like, replaced, like, that's fine. So tell us why he was terrible. Like, tell us why he let that happen, you know? Because they just didn't say anything either way.
No, I think they did try and explain him away in, like, The Mandalorian, when they saw, like, the clones with the midichlorians that they were trying to do, and you saw the batches of Snokes, like, in there.
Is he supposed to be a failed Palpatine clone?
Yeah, pretty much. That was what they were going for. But again, they didn't really explain it well. It was kind of like, oh, that looks kind of like Snoke. That must have been what they were doing. So again, they're trying to piece the things together.
Yeah, well. I think you're right, Paul. I think you maybe touched on it earlier when you were like, oh, they got wrote into a corner on some stuff, like, about like trying to explain things. Mm-hmm. Like, this Palpatine cloning thing has been, like, going through all of, like, the cartoons and stuff, you know, like Bad Batch and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's shown up in Mandalorian season 3. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's really dragging everything down. Like, I don't care how he got cloned. Like, but they had an entire season of Bad Batch where it was like, oh, we can't perfectly clone the midichlorians. You know, like, it keeps, like, you know, we can't transfer the force to another body. And it's like... Like, they had a whole season about it, and then at the end of the season, it didn't really get resolved, and it wasn't, like, part of the big ending. I just don't know why they're so hung up on this, like, trying to explain it. It's clones.
I think the problem is with, like, a lot of different fandoms, and, like, Star Wars does a thing. It's got that many offshoots. Like, if you think about it, you've got the comics, you've got the books and stuff. Some say are as part of the lore, some aren't. Some is just, as you said, part of the thing. They try and fit too much in. And again, it depends on who's running the show or who's running the ideas. But again, before, I think we'll leave that little bit of a conversation for another day, because that could go down a rabbit hole. That could delve into quite an interesting conversation. But yeah, I'm just thankful that, like, say, like, I'm probably of the age where I get to experience, like, a lot of the stuff. Like, I got to see some of the midnight screenings for a lot of these movies as well, like opening night, queuing up, where before, as I said before, they used to do, like, online pre-booking. You had a queue to get your seat, and if you didn't get there, you know, then. But then the other side of the thing is, like, booking your tickets and getting excited, getting the bus into town around 10 o'clock at night, meeting your mates, getting the cinema at 1 minute past midnight for like, this is, like, oh, grand openings for the screenings and stuff like that, and crawling out at, like, when most people's crawling out the nightclubs pissed, and you're, like, buzzing your tits off. I've seen, like, a new Star Wars movie, even though if it wasn't what you wanted or was great, you've just been with your mates. It's that experience I kind of miss now.
There's not a bad way to experience Star Wars. It doesn't matter if it's, like, at home watching, like, a new show, or going to the cinema. You're experiencing one of the greatest franchises of all time for, like, you, like, it doesn't matter what they do. They can stick Bill Burr in playing himself.
he was like, one of the best. He was one of the best parts of the season as well. Weirdly.
But that was a nice point. I like that point there, Lee. So I think that's a nice way to leave this episode there. Just the point that Lee's made, that everyone can experience Star Wars any which way. There's, like, it's with any type of sci-fi. There's no bad Star Wars. It's just Star Wars for different people, I guess. And experience it your own way. And there's no right way or wrong way. So anything you want to add there, Green Chris?
No, I think Lee said it all. There's no bad way of experiencing Star Wars, is there?
Have you not got a cloak you can put on, like over your head, so you can, like, be all sinister and stuff?
Can.
Yeah. That's better. That's a... I look more like Star Wars now. This whole episode, I've just been like, Spike Lazowski.
We seek Yoda.
Misa, oh, that's bad. But yeah, anyone got anything else they want to add to that?
No, just excited to see what new Star Wars pops up in 2025, because it really is the series where you have literally no idea what kind of show might pop up on Disney Plus. Like Marvel has their like thing locked in, whereas Star Wars seems to like cancel shows whenever it feels like. So
yeah, let's see what's going to work. It's exciting times. What's exciting, but yeah. So going forward as well, like I know we've got a few plans. Well, the next episode we do on Star Wars will probably come the end of February, but we'll probably be more focused in on something. So I might do a poll in the group, just to see, like, say a few Star Wars topics to touch on and see what kind of hits a nerve. Do people want us to talk about The Mandalorian? Do people want us to hit the original trilogy or talk about something different?
Well, Jar Jar.
Jar Jar, we could based on characters. So that's...
See what Sammy wants to talk about as well, seeing as she's going to be gutted she missed out tonight.
Yeah, like I say, we'll do a catch-up next week, because I know next week's episode, we are going back to the classical route. I don't know whether to do black and white again. I might. We are joined by Joe next week, because we're talking about the Marx Brothers Horse Feathers movie. So not many people will have seen it or even heard of it. It's a very classic.
I bet George Lucas has seen it.
Possibly. it's got a man with a painted on tash. That's all you need to know. Before Jojo, like the Joker as well. Before Cesar Romero, that was what I was saying. So that's out there. Tomorrow, Sammy and Dan, the episode, like I say, I'll need to upload it. So that'll be out from 8 o'clock in the morning. They're talking about The Crazies, the original and the remake. Now, the remake is one of my favorite, the kind of like zombie slash like outbreak movies. It's quite well done. What's happening on Tuesday?
Yeah, what are the Grumps doing?
Oh, it's the first Top Grumps battle, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. It's only 13 minutes long as well. Mm. So it doesn't take that long to watch.
Decisive.
We're figuring a lot of stuff out in this episode as well of how the cards work in a battle. Right. So it's weird, but we're still managed to be our weird selves.
Right. As per usual. Jake, have you got anything planned for this week?
Yeah, I think we're probably going to continue on with Sonic Adventure, which is the terrible Dreamcast game
played via
Steam, which is what the new movies are based on. So I'm kind of going through them and being like, is this better or worse than the movie? It's mostly worse, I would probably say. And yeah, we're still cooking up a secret wrestling show project to bring to everyone, probably in February as well.
Exciting.
Yeah, there's been plenty of wrestling on various Discords and stuff if people want to come and watch some stuff with us.
Mm-hmm.
Jump in.
When's the next countdown to Doomsday?
Oh, yes. Well, we'll be recording that this week as well. Iron Man 3. Everyone's
I thought it was Thor Dark World.
No, it's the roller coaster ride down from Avengers. You gotta pass through Iron Man 3 first. Yes, if Sammy's okay, we'll be recording that this week sometime. But if she's not, we might have to scooch Iron Man 3 around a little bit.
Certainly. And I believe the Women of Nerd Culture are doing their fantasy episodes soon, so that will be up, hopefully.
Giving our homework, everyone watching this and everyone on this show right now. So you've got to record your favourite fantasy moment and send it to them.
Yeah.
Well, they'll get you.
No, certainly. So, also,
there is a chance that there might be another Dragon Ball episode out on Friday.
Oh,
same time as last time. If I can get it recorded in time, then there will be one out.
Cool.
If not, the Friday after.
Because, like I say, if everyone hasn't checked out Lee and Chris's little delve into the anime world, like Lee's the Dragon Ball King.
The Kami Chronicles.
Yes. Yeah. And Lee and Chris done a bit of a, shall we say, risky anime with lots of people getting their penises stolen.
Yeah,
well, this riskier one's about.
Did by the way, did you guys have to like last minute switch like hosts on those shows, because we couldn't have Chris's Cameo Chronicles, right? Because that's got a bad abbreviation. So did you have to like
Chronicles quickly... begins with a C, doesn't it?
not the way Lee wrote it.
Yeah. Well, I was struggling to find a name that wasn't going to show up on YouTube as something else. And yeah, it's Dragon Ball. It's so big. Everything showed up. Yeah. And it was like, this sounds all right. And it doesn't show up as anything. That's the only reason I picked it. It wasn't like, I love this name. It was just like, this works.
Sometimes that's how names get picked.
Yes. So if you're watching this, please check out our overall content. Like I say, a lot of stuff we do put out on the Nerdy Up North YouTube channel. This and other episodes will be up for the audio versions, which Sammy will be putting up on Monday if she's up for it. So yeah, as I said, we've got a lot of content, a lot of fun, a lot of nerds, and check out the Twitch channel as well. You normally see Chris, Lee, and Jake having fun there. I did join Chris and Lee the other week and nearly threw up on stream trying to kill them pesky ghosts.
Wasn't that just last night?
I threw up off stream.
Afterwards, yeah, we got spookums, we got boffs.
Tell you what though. We played like Pacifier. Like normally we don't get anywhere. We got $1 away from killing off the witch, and she went nuts. She went nuts on us like last that ghost.
I was watching.
It was out for me.
Yeah,
I was watching for just to a certain point, and then the scary noises were too much in my headphones.
It was scary.
So you guys are brave for sticking with that.
So yes. So again, thank you for everyone. Thank you everyone in the chat. Like I say, you've stuck around. Like I say, it seems like you've enjoyed it, and thanks for all the information you've been giving us as well.
And thanks for everyone who's wrote on the website. Sorry, Paul.
Oh yes,
the website's been awesome. And thanks to anyone who's joined in on that.
Yeah, it's still going to be updating, still going to be worked. So again, if you've got anything you want to write, anything that you feel like you want to share with us on the website, as I said, we're not expecting people to give us professional or anything like to a level, just to have fun, just to tell us something that you love.
Real shit.
Yeah, just basically give us a bit of your personality and we'll publish it, and so you can be proud and be a bit of a nerd there. But yeah, give us your manifestos. Thanks. Oh, well. That'll be interesting. Thanks for that, Chris. So, yes. So, on that note, same bat time, same bat channel.
Stay early, everyone.
Bye.